Our message this morning is going to revolve around primarily Matthew 28:19. And Matthew 28:19 is often referred to as the Great Commission. And if I went ahead and asked a lot of people in this church this morning, why do we meet as a church? You guys can shout it out. I mean, what are some of the reasons we meet as a church?
We're a family of God.
Family of God, right? What's another reason? I think we did a lot of it this morning. We worship, yep. You guys, when you came here earlier in the morning, a bunch of people were talking together. I think that's fantastic, right? Fellowship, right? And then, hopefully, when the pastor preaches, right, you get teaching. And if you ask the modern church, right, they'll go ahead and say, primarily the purpose of the church is for worship, fellowship, and teaching. And while all of these things are important, right, and they're biblical and they're necessary, this is not really the full purpose of the church. And a saying that I found while preparing for this is worship prepares the church, fellowship strengthens the church, and teaching equips the church. But the mission of the church is to restore mankind to God. Like, that's our entire purpose. And this is the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, not the Great Discussion, and it's not the Great Idea. And the mission that Jesus began when he was on this earth over 2,000 years ago has been transferred to the church. And you ask yourself, well, what was that mission? Why was Jesus here? Like, what was his purpose? And I think as Christians, we often have to ask ourselves that question to know, why are we Christians? Why do we go to church? What is the purpose of the church? Why is church important? Why is what we do evangelizing to people important? And the mission, I believe, from the beginning, from reading the scriptures, is God is seeking mankind. We went ahead and seen that in the very beginning in Genesis 3:9, after mankind had fallen. Adam and Eve had just sinned, and God is walking through the garden, the Lord God, and he calls out, "Where are you?" Do you think God didn't know where Adam and Eve were? And this is not the cry of an angry judge or an angry God. It's the call of a father that is searching for his children. And this is the first missionary verse, I believe, that you will see in the Bible. Humanity was hiding because of their sin, but God was searching for them. God pursued mankind, even when we hid. And throughout the scriptures, we continue to see this trend. In Ezekiel 34:16, we see God saying, "I will seek the lost, bring back the strayed, bind up the injured, and strengthen the weak." Doesn't that give you such great hope this morning? And in Luke 15, we see Jesus with the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Three times Jesus talked about how heaven rejoices when restoration happens, when that relationship is restored. In Luke 19:10, we go ahead and say, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." There's not one point between Genesis and Revelation that God has strayed from his rescue mission to restore the relationship that he created with mankind when he formed Adam from the dust of the earth. And when we see Jesus on the cross, that mission reached its highest point. He became the ultimate sacrifice. But Jesus did not end this mission. He simply transferred it. His goal was to give this to his chosen people, the Israelites. But the Jews rejected him. So he turned to the church. That's us. That's us standing here today. Not the building. It's the people that are in the building. And said, "Go therefore." It doesn't say, "Sit in church all day and hopefully someone shows up." So we see that the church exists to continue Christ's mission. I'm not sure about you, but that goes ahead and that puts a pretty heavy burden on me today. It's like I have to transfer what someone that was 100% human, 100% God, but was perfect, what his mission was, is now getting transferred to me. So that leads to several questions. As I stand here this morning preaching the Great Commission, I ask, what is this church, right? What are we doing to restore God's relationship with mankind? Are we known in this community as a church that loves people? I mean, I see the people here. You guys are fantastic. You welcome people with open arms. Are we a church that reaches people? Are we going out to find people? And are we a church where lives are changed, where we become reflections of Jesus Christ? My wife and I have had the distinct opportunity over the last year of supporting a church plant in Kenya. And this church plant in Kenya is in Rima, Kenya. It's a very, very small area, very similar to this area in southern Kenya. And it's a very Muslim area of Kenya. And Pastor Isaiah and his family, mid-20s, two young kids, moved from the city where they had great access to many of the same facilities and stuff that we have here in the United States, to a very rural area where running water and flushing toilets are a thing that people desire to have and they don't often have. And he's been following the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in that area of Kenya, he has convinced people that live meal to meal to give up one meal for the entire family every week to support a church being built, a church building. And for a year, the congregation went ahead and gave up one meal a week. And you think, well, what's one meal, right? Well, these people don't have the nutrition that we have here in the United States. Giving up one meal has caused several members of the congregation to die, right? So they've given their lives to go ahead and plant this church. And they've gone ahead and they were able to raise $1,000 US and secure a tract of land in this area. And we've been able to support them through building a church in this area and go ahead and bring people in. So there's over 100 people that are attending each service there every Sunday. And they want to have more people attend, but there's no more seats. They don't have seats for people in this church. People are standing there. And it's amazing because as I talk to Pastor Isaiah and he's gotten to this point, he comes to me and he said, "Jeremy, he's like, we've raised up 6 people within the area that want to become full-time pastors and want to go out and create additional churches because they feel such a need for this." And I go ahead and I ask Pastor Isaiah because he just finished pouring concrete in the church floor there. So now they're not standing in mud during the rainy season and they're talking about getting electric there now. And I said, Pastor Isaiah, what's on your plan for 2026? And he said, Jeremy, it's like we're planning more churches. And it floored me. So here's an individual that lives every week by faith in God. His family's been attacked by malaria. He's watched people in his congregation die from lack of food. They deal with mudslides on a daily basis, but their entire focus is on following the Great Commission. And I went ahead and in a conversation I had with my wife, I said, I only wish that I had half the faith that Pastor Isaiah and his congregation have. Because that type of faith requires full abandonment of who we are as individuals. And as we're continuing on this morning, we ask ourselves, are we only a church with a fantastic choir? Are we only a church with friendly people? Are we only a church with nice services where people go out feeling warm and fuzzy? Activities don't always equal purpose. When Jesus went ahead and was talking to his disciples after he was raised from the dead, which is where we see Matthew 28:19, Jesus didn't command them, go and build crowds. He didn't command them to keep people comfortable. He didn't say, maintain traditions. He said, go and make disciples. And in John 20:21, we see a follow-up on this. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So when you went ahead and you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it didn't stop at that point. You now have a responsibility to continue the mission that Jesus started on earth to go ahead and restore God's relationship with mankind. And there's a personal call in this. We may want to call the entire church out and say, well, why isn't this church doing this? Why isn't this church doing this? Why isn't this church doing this? A church is made up of individual people, people like myself, people like you. And so God has a question. What are you doing to help restore his relationship with mankind? Because this mission just isn't for pastors, teachers, evangelists, missionaries. It's for every believer. In 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20, the Apostle Paul was writing the church in Corinth and said, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we often hear in the scriptures that God is seeking individuals, but how is he seeking them? I believe that God, according to what I read in the scriptures, that God is seeking individuals through us. That he's using his reflection of his changing of our lives to go ahead and make people wonder, what is different about these individuals? What causes them to be different? And I'm here to tell you this morning, you weren't just saved. You are sent. Isn't that exciting? You have a purpose. We go ahead and hear that all the time. Theologians, you go ahead and you get people talking on television. You get people going, what is our purpose? Well, guess what? As Christians, you have a purpose. You have a direct calling. Your life is a bridge for someone. Think about it. Every single one of us are in this church today because somebody reached out. Someone wanted to make a difference. Your testimony is a tool. Your presence in someone's life is intentional, right? God didn't have you meet other people just because, right? You're there for a purpose. And remember, you don't have the responsibility to save anyone. God does. You only have to speak, and the Holy Spirit works in their hearts. We see throughout the Bible that God went ahead and used continually over and over and over again people that everyone else looked away from. I mean, you look at Moses. He was a poor speaker. You go ahead and you look at some of the other people that God had chosen, and they were people that no one would pay attention to. David, small in stature, and became a mighty king. In Acts 1:8, we go ahead and we have a promise that says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness. So we are extended the responsibility to witness, to tell the story. And as I was reading Acts 1:8, I went ahead and a thought came to mind. All of the disciples that followed Jesus Christ went ahead and died horrible deaths, right? Some of them were crucified, some of them were beheaded, right? But they all died for their faith. And they didn't die because they had a quiet faith, that they went ahead and they believed Jesus Christ and just went ahead and went about their way. They died because they continued to preach the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, our religion is no different than any other religion. So that story has to be shut down. And so we are attacked on that every day. And we're not doing this on our own strength. Like when you go ahead and you meet with people, that's not your responsibility all on your own. I was talking to you about feeling that heavy burden. Well, God goes ahead and helps you with that. He empowers you. And you may ask me this morning, so what do I need to do? How do I live this out? How do I make a difference? And I challenge you to start praying for one person. That one person may be a relative, maybe a friend, maybe someone you absolutely, positively can't stand. Right? Start praying for them. And that one person may be the one person that God has put in your life that He wants you to reach. Start a spiritual conversation. Tell people what God has done for you today. What's God done? Invite them to church. This is a fantastic church. There's great fellowship here. You have a great choir. You have people that are gathered here. You have a great pastor, right? Go ahead and invite people to participate in that. And then walk with them as they grow in Jesus Christ. Right? We talked about earlier, teaching, fellowship, worship. Right? Fantastic. And God isn't asking you all to reach everyone. He's just asking you to reach someone. Right? There's someone out there that God wants you to reach. And this morning, we've seen that the Great Commission is not a program, right? I don't see any churches today going ahead and having a Great Commission program. It's not a ministry category. It's not youth. It's not adults. It's not men's. It's not women's. But the one thing that we do see is the Great Commission, what we're called to do, is not optional. Right? Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it becomes your identity. Because remember, you are the continuation of Christ's mission. You are the voice calling, where are you? You are the hands that are reaching out for the lost. The mission has continued. And my question for you this morning is, will you continue it? Right? You have been called by Jesus Christ for such a great purpose. Are you going to accept your purpose, or are you going to sit down quietly? And I think that's the choice all of us have to make, not once in our lifetime, not yearly, not monthly, not weekly, but I think it's a decision that we have to make every minute of our lives, because it's a lot easier to sit there and just be quiet. It's a lot easier not to rock the boat. So as we close this morning, many people may have heard the message thinking, how can I follow the Great Commission when if I don't truly know Jesus Christ myself? Maybe some of you in this room don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been in a church your whole life, but you've never had a personal relationship with him. I mean, that was very common in the Bible. We see it with the Pharisees and the scribes. They went ahead and followed every letter of the law. They participated in every moment, but they didn't have a personal relationship with him. And maybe you don't even know what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is. What it means to walk with him, to hear his voice, to know his peace, and the most important part, to feel his forgiveness. Or maybe today there's something in your past, a moment, a decision, or maybe a season of your life that you say is too dirty, too dark, or too broken for God to redeem. Maybe you convinced yourself, or the devil has convinced you, that your sin is unforgivable. But hear this, with all the love and truth the Word of God can offer, there is nothing that you have done, nothing that you will do, that Jesus Christ cannot forgive. Every sin, every failure, every moment of rebellion, when we turned our backs on God, he was faithful. He already carried it to the cross. He already paid the price for your sins. He already made the way. Jesus is not standing there with arms crossed like this, like an angry parent. He's standing there with arms wide open. He's ready to accept you. So this morning, as we sit here in this church, I invite you, if you want to know Jesus, if you want to have a relationship with him that changes your life, if you want his peace, his forgiveness, his presence, his power, then simply come. And what I mean by that, come just as you are. You don't need to fix yourself first. You don't need to clean yourself up. You don't need to earn him. We can't. Nothing we can do. Just come. And I invite you this morning, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, to pray with me. Jesus, I need you. I admit that I am a sinner in need of your grace. I believe you died for me and that you rose again. I ask you now to come into my heart. Forgive me. Save me. Change me. Lead me. I give you my life. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, welcome home. Welcome into the family of God. And now, congratulations, you're part of the mission. You are now not just someone that God is reaching towards. you are now someone that God is reaching through. And as we go ahead and conclude this service, I would ask that you all go ahead and stand with me and sing from page 57, All Hail the Power of Jesus.